Okay. And Arlene Engelhardt, Executive Director, this will be her portion to give the Executive Director's report. Thank you so much. Go ahead, Arlene.
Thank you. First of all, I just want to take a minute to thank the people that have put this meeting together, particularly Bill Crozier and Dev Shafto. I want to thank the people that put together the reception last night. I know most of you were there, and we had a wonderful time. I hope you all took advantage of walking up the stairs and had the opportunity to see the transmitter that was bombed by the Ku Klux Klan back in 1971. It's a very moving experience, and if you didn't, if you're back at the station this trip, or if not, next time you're here, make it a point to take a look at that. It kind of puts in perspective why it's so important to have a Pacifica, and I hope that we'll all take just a moment to think about that at a time when our country and the world really need our voices. I've been with Pacifica for just over a year. During the year, I have faced many challenges and worked to put out many fires. The position and the organization have proven to be challenging, chaotic, depressing, and highly rewarding, sometimes all at the same time. I had hoped to be able to spend more of my time planning and working to move forward, working on vision for the organization, but I've spent an inordinate amount of time and energy working to overcome the chaos of at least the last 10 years. In spite of the difficulties, I am excited and challenged to be at Pacifica, and I do believe that despite our very serious problems, we are making progress. At times, it is hard to believe, but then I look at the work accomplished to date and realize that we can work as a team in spite of our differences. I thank all of you for your support, your belief in the mission of Pacifica, and your dedication and devotion of time to Pacifica Radio. Pacifica Network can and will be the antidote to Fox News and the other far-right organizations. I see the addition of Al Jazeera English to the Pacifica programming lineup and the contract with them as one of our most rewarding accomplishments this year. We were indeed fortunate to hear so much of the coverage from Egypt firsthand. The governments of Tunisia and Egypt have fallen, and massive uprisings have occurred throughout North Africa and the Arabian Peninsula, all of this widely covered by Al Jazeera English. Pacifica is the only national radio network carrying AJE. Along with the coverage from AJE, Democracy Now! Had significant coverage of the uprisings, and many of our stations produced outstanding local specials. We have a premium available with many of those specials included on it, and I hope you're taking advantage of that at your stations. Although I have faced many challenges, I have been fortunate that the PNB and Grace Aaron as an interim executive director, LaVarne Williams as interim CFO, and the interim GMs at four of our stations worked so hard to keep us moving forward. Permanent staff members have provided stability and historical perspective to face the challenges this year, particularly Duane Bradley, GM at KPFT, Brian DeShazer, Archives Director, Ursula Rudenberg, Affiliate Director, John Almela, Technical Director, along with Otis McClay, and Lynn Magno, Comptroller. As progressive individuals and as a progressive organization and radio network, we are facing very difficult obstacles. In the U.S., progressive voices are marginalized and progressives have a difficult time uniting to achieve common goals. The middle class and poor people are suffering, and except for the very wealthy, people are worried about their jobs and financial stability. The financial instability in our country and the world has had a significant effect on giving to nonprofit organizations, including Pacifica. Pacifica can and must position itself to help overcome the chaos. We have the advantage of the airwaves to reach listeners. We must overcome our financial deficits, operate within our income, and work creatively to reach more listeners and to provide voice to those who are not often heard. Finances. As we will see in the as we saw in the 2010 audit and the management letter, our financial situation is precarious. In order to turn this around, we must keep our expenses below income, and we must generate revenue to pay outstanding bills. Our first priority is to restore solvency and then begin to move forward. My plan to move us out of our current fiscal crisis includes the following. finish work to pass budgets that are unrealistic with anticipated expense below revenue at every unit. Monitor expenses and revenue for each unit and mandate necessary changes that will bring them into balance. Conduct 2 national on-air fund drives. The first will be April 6th and 7th, and the second will follow in the summer. The money raised will be used to pay outstanding debt. Complement the drives with an additional summer mail campaign. Complete the process to hire 4 competent GMs who will manage the finances of their stations prudently. New managers at WBAI and WPFW are currently in place and taking necessary steps to improve their station performance. Work with the CFO to monitor and report on finances monthly. This includes monitoring each unit and mandating that expenses stay within budget and that expenses be reduced if income is not meeting anticipated levels. Monitor and provide monthly cash flow reports for each unit. Unfortunately, our current financial software does not allow us to produce numbers for the current fiscal year until the audit report is completed. We have identified for the next fiscal year that we will begin the year with mere financial reports so that we can begin to analyze our status after the first month of the fiscal year. I mandated cuts at KPFA in order to bring expenses into line with revenue. I institute a hire and salary freeze. I am looking at contractor consultant expenses at each station and directing elimination of most of these positions. I have directed that any positions that must be filled must be done with open hires following EEO guidelines and only with explicit approval from me. I have directed the CFO and the GMs to jointly evaluate business managers and ensure that they are trained in fulfilling the duties required in their job descriptions. Where performance is lacking, they are to begin corrective action. I have directed them to have in place the evaluation tool by March 31st and to have completed those evaluations by April 30th. Work with the CFO to complete revision of financial policies and procedures. I've put a deadline of June 30th, 2011 on that and do the necessary implementation and staff training. I am requesting the audit committee to assist in this development, and we've actually taken some action, and I'll talk about at the end the task force that was recommended by our auditor that we decided yesterday we would be convening. Encourage stations and affiliates and at the national level to do all possible to promote continued funding through CPB. I've asked all of the stations to put warnings and information on their websites to cover it on the air. I know that in Washington they actually did 6 hours of programming about some of the proposals that were in Congress to cut funding for public broadcasting, and that includes us. Support WBAI and WPFW in their PTFP grant applications. And I want to say a big thanks to John Almela and also to Otis and the managers at those stations and to Don Mussel for the help that they've provided and then for the consultants that each of the stations have come up with in order to help develop those grants. I've been told that they'd like to fund us, but we have to turn in better grants than we have in the past. Work with GMs to improve fulfillment rates and to improve efficiency of on-air fund drives. Washington and New York are working hard on this. Fulfillment at the other 3 stations is better than at those stations, or is better than it is in New York, but New York is working hard to improve that and has shown improvement already this year. Work with units to institute and expand major donor programs. Washington and New York have begun this process. Washington actually has a chair in place to chair their major donor campaign who kicked it off with a $10,000 contribution.
Yay!
That actually follows a $10,000 contribution from the same person that I had obtained during their fund drive last summer, so that's 2 of those within 12 months. And also the commitment from that person to host events at his expense at his restaurant for us, and to work with the embassies to do some fundraising events. And so it's pretty exciting, really. The new manager in Washington actually lives in a condo above one of his restaurants, and so we've got the connection going already. Set up small work groups at station and national levels to monitor financial performance and recommend and implement improvements. I'm working with Washington and New York on physical location, as both of their leases expire in 2012. And, of course, as we've discussed at some points during this, we're also working with New York on the terrible expense of their transmitter lease. We are finalizing a contract with Free Speech Radio News for this year at a reduced level from 2010, but it will enable them to continue providing valuable news coverage. And we reduced the staff in the national office by 2.5 FTEs this year. That's a sacrifice, but we have to reduce expenses, and that's part of that effort. GM search. New GMs are in place in New York and Washington and appear to be making progress. I have made an offer which has been accepted at KPFK. We are working to overcome some obstacles. I can provide some details. I had an email from that candidate this morning, and I'll provide some details during the executive session if we have time. The new GM at KPFA has resigned the position for personal reasons. I am interviewing candidates for interim GM. Hope to have someone selected by the end of this weekend, and will notify the LSB in Berkeley that they need to convene a search committee to search for a GM in Berkeley. Human resources. Ahmad Anderson resigned as HR director. As a cost-saving measure, I am not hiring for the position. I am working with our labor attorney to engage a consultant to update our personnel policies and forms, develop grievance procedures, and establish standards for personnel files, hiring practices, and performance appraisal. And we'll be working with making sure that that comes into place at every station, and we'll also be utilizing the consultant in order to bring some of that into place. Laverne is working to find a new payroll system. We have some problems with our current system. New federal mandates mean that the system we're using currently is not totally legal going forward, and it doesn't totally meet our needs. So we will talk to the current company, but we'll also be working with others to find the most cost-effective solution that we can that will provide us with both the appropriate checks or deposits for direct deposits for our personnel, but also with the information that we need as part of the process. And we hope to have that change in place by April 1st. Technical. We moved to a new version of AudioPart with port with animation as requested. Otis and John have been handling minor problems that have occurred. Ursula is working with the stations regarding any issues they have. John and Otis are working with all the stations to be sure they comply with sound exchange reporting. They are particularly working with John Hughes at WPFW to bring WPFW into compliance. Stations. WBAI has their new phone system in place. John has been working with them on problems regarding the new system and their network. Berthold has been working to fulfill outstanding thank you gifts and to increase pledge drive fulfillment. They instituted program changes, bringing Gary Null back during the noon slot. This appears to be increasing listenership at this time and has resulted in improved contributions. We are working on the issues surrounding the cost of studio rent and tower rent. The studio lease expires next year, and we are weighing the options of moving to a new location versus staying on Wall Street. We are working with John Krigler on the financial issues with the tower lease. WPFW has reduced most of their staff to half-time in order to bring expenses under revenue. The lease expires and the building will be torn down next year, so WPFW will have to move to a new home in 2012. John Hughes is pursuing all leads and has some potential solutions. Other board members or LSB members are also working on that. KPFT has completed an agreement with Rice University for lease of their HD2 channel. KPFT will offer alternative programming on HD3. This agreement has been patterned somewhat on the WMNF model with University of South Florida and was reached working in conjunction with John Krigler. For those of you who may not know, John Krigler is the attorney that works with us on matters of FCC and some of the other government issues. KPFA is struggling to deal with the necessary cuts to bring expenses in under revenues. KPFK is waiting anxiously for a new GM to assume leadership. Their LSB and staff are working to improve communication and cooperation. I have mandated that all stations monitor that all of their legal requirements are in order, specifically the FCC checklist and public file. We are moving into a period of relicensure for stations. I believe WPFW is the first one to come up, and so we particularly want to make sure, but for many other reasons, including the fact that it's an ongoing requirement, that the public file is in place and in order at every station. I don't know how many of you saw it, but a station in Los Angeles was recently fined $10,000 because an FCC official showed up 3 days in a row asking to see the public file and was turned away.
Not a Pacifica station.
Not a Pacifica station.
You shouldn't mean our Los Angeles
station. No, no. A Los Angeles station. The public file, you know, just to make you aware, because you may want to be discussing this with your board, with your staff, the public file must be available for people to come in and look at the documents, anyone that requests it, and it must be available during business hours. What's important is that whoever is greeting people at the door, or as I understand it, this was actually at the gate to their parking lot or something, needs to know that it is available and where to send people. And if somebody shows up, you know, and is admitted to the building at some odd hour, let's say on a Saturday afternoon, it's perfectly fine to say you need to come back during business hours or you need to call during business hours to make arrangements. But we need to know that. Our personnel, our programmers need to know that. I can't emphasize it enough that we can't afford to fail in this requirement. It's a really simple one. And we don't have $10,000 to give to the FCC for a fine. Affiliates and archives. Both the affiliate and archive units are functioning well under the leadership of Ursula Rudenberg and Brian DeShazer. Their reports are included in your packet. National programming. I will be working with the new programming committee, and I am setting up an advisory committee to identify events of national or regional importance that would interest our listeners and provide a service if Pacifica provides national coverage of an event. This is things like the State of the Union address, and I think that's one of the best examples recently. Many times when we have national programming that we provide, it is distributed by KPFA with the help of John and Otis out of New York and here to get it out over the airwaves. But that doesn't mean that the hosts need to come from those areas. And the thing that was great with the State of the Union coverage was that we had someone involved from each of our five stations. And that's the kind of thing that I'd like to see. Maybe not all five stations with every event that we cover, but we do need to be sure that we represent people from our various listening areas, including the affiliates. I will be asking this committee to work with me to develop a process to evaluate and implement national coverage of events. In other words, rather than all of a sudden somebody saying a week before the event, we should be covering the hearings of, you know, whoever for the Supreme Court, the most recent one being Kagan, let's plan a little bit ahead. Let's decide what's important. And as people become more and more aware of us doing this, we'll have to make some decisions as to which events we can cover. We have limited resources and limited budget, but these are important. Al Jazeera English News is currently carried on three Pacifica stations and a number of the affiliates. KPFK plans to add coverage after the current fund drive, and WBAI and KPFT are adding a half-hour news program in the afternoon. All the Pacifica stations utilized AJE during the Egyptian crisis. WPFW is currently exploring how they can best use it. I think it is time to examine our mission and roots in peace and social justice and activism, and to re-examine our progressive values and evaluate how well we are meeting our mission to provide education and outstanding radio in these areas. I think most of our listeners would welcome much more coverage on the current state of the economy and recommendations for promoting and dealing with it in a way to benefit our average listener. How can our listeners participate to improve jobs and economic stability for the average Janes and Joes, not the top 1 to 2%? And that's one of the issues that I'm asking the program committee to please do some work on this year. As we get permanent GMs and PDs in place, we need to evaluate our current programming at each station. Ken Aaron has volunteered to provide an in-depth look at Arbitrons for the stations where we have them available. Thank you, Ken. We will also look at listener feedback and fund drive results by program. As we move forward, we need to look at the following questions. How do we get input from listeners and the community? How do we determine communities that are underserved that we could serve? How do we better cover local news issues? Are we providing ongoing training and evaluation to programmers? How do we improve programming to increase listenership without sacrificing our core values? Legal. I have worked with Ricardo, Richard Phelps, and our labor attorneys on issues regarding lawsuits. My goal is to resolve disputes without resorting to legal action wherever possible. Moving forward, the PNB needs to work with the ED, CFO, and other national staff to solve problems. We can be most effective if we work as a team. I would like to see the PNB strive to resolve issues and work toward common goals rather than spend so much of their time and staff time and energy on infighting. One of the things that I hear when I talk to people in communities in each of our listening areas is, you know, we don't really want to hear about your politics, your internal politics on the air. We want to learn about what's happening in our community, in our world. We want information. We want entertainment. We want to know how we can be involved in helping to solve the problems in our community and in this world. And I can't say that loud enough. We're bound to have internal struggles. Our listeners don't even want to know. They look upon us as their role models and their leaders, and they don't want to hear about our dirty laundry. Lawsuits take a terrible toll on the foundation. They frequently pit PNB members against one another and waste the foundation's assets. I think members would be appalled to learn how much of their contributions go to fight and settle lawsuits, and I think we can find better ways to settle our differences. Reasoned dissent is a good thing. I would hate to see a board that just rubber-stamped issues. However, once we reach a decision, we need to work as a team. A single board or staff member cannot act to usurp the will of the body. We must also have the courage to take on issues that further peace and social justice. We have many bright, committed, and courageous board and staff members, and we need to encourage their contributions. Depending on how we choose to act, the whole can be more or less than the parts. Let us move forward to contribute to a more sane and just world due to our work with Pacifica Radio. And I have just a couple of additions that I've jotted down this weekend to my written report. We talked about the task force that we were going to convene. In fact, you passed a motion regarding that. I would like to say that my timetable for convening that task force and for developing initial goals and interim steps, basically a calendar, would be to do that by the end of March and to have a final report. I'd like to say by mid-April, but it might get to be late April because of our national fund drive in the early part of that month. I already mentioned that for the financial policies and procedures, I want them finished by June 30th and brought to you for passage. I'd like to see a timetable in place for accomplishing that by the end of March. I mean, the timetable set up by the end of March. Some of you have asked me about the Rice contract and what the situation is there. I can, you know, identify, as Wayne mentioned to some degree in his report, that it is a 7-year contract with a clause that would renew it for 7 years. It is for the HD2, which is, you know, the digital channel on their signal. It allows Rice to provide programming 24/7. The recommendation from John Krigler, our attorney, is that as soon as the final signed contract is completed, that it be placed in the file with the dollar amount redacted, because that is a confidential part of the agreement. And that covers my report. I'll be glad to take any questions. I know we don't have a lot of time.
Thank you, Arlene, for your report, and we'll take questions from members. I see Ken and then Campbell. Go ahead, Ken. Oh, I'm sorry, Nia, I did not see you, but I'll put you in the stack. You had a question? Okay, I'll put you on the stack right after Campbell, and then Kimmery right after you, okay? Go ahead, Ken.
Oh, thank you for the report, Arlene. I apologize. I just wanted you to review one thing. You said you were asking for staff evaluations. Is that at National and all other business units, the station?
Yes, it is.
Everywhere?
It'll be everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And for all positions or just management?
For all positions. That should be yearly. We're starting with the... I'll be evaluating the GMs, and we're putting in place the process for the business managers, and we'll be pushing this forward for all staff at every station.
And copies will be collected at National?
Yes, in their personnel files.
Thank you.
Thank you. Campbell, grab yourself a microphone, please.
Oops, sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
No problem.
Good morning, Arlene.
Good morning, Campbell.
I was wondering, in terms of your indication about the FCC inspections and whatnot, do we have a model, or can we develop a model about what should be in the public file?
There is a model, and that's been shared with all the general managers. It's available online.
Terrific. Thank you.
Nia, you're next.
Yes. Thanks, Arlene. Thank you for your report. The document retention and destruction policy that the audit committee came up with, have you been able to implement that yet? And how is
it's sitting on my desk. Okay. That's as far as I've gone with it at this moment. But you're right. It's on my list. I'll put it that way.
Okay. Because in terms of files,
I'm not ignoring it, and right. We're beginning to chip away at the files, which are part of that policy. The
right.
First thing we're tackling is two things, really, financial records and personnel files.
Okay, just to be sure that I'm no longer the chair, but I just want to just give you a heads up
it,
to be.
I've got it.
Yeah, okay, great.
Thank you.
Kimmery?
Oh, oops. Thank you, Arlene, for your report, but I have a concern in reference to the human resource person that you said that you weren't going to hire. And the reason why is because I've been union rep for several jobs and just dealing with a sexual harassment case with a young lady currently, that I think that it would be advisable that we still try to maybe keep someone in-house that can deal with anything that arises from those type of incidences within the employer's side, so that way somebody can take care of any internal issues before they become external issues in the court and stuff like that.
We're not ignoring those issues, and one of the several things involved with those personnel files is also making sure that people have training in sexual harassment, and that's why I converted part of the dollars that we'll be saving from that position this year into using a consultant to be able to make sure that we cover those issues and bring somebody in on an as-needed basis. And It's not my goal to eliminate that position permanently, but as we've had to do, you know, it's not my goal to leave the staff at Washington in place for half-time either. But during our recovery period, we have to take some real austere measures in some cases, and we all have to share in that.
Thank you. Afia is next. Okay, I got you, Bill.
Thank you for your report, Arlene.
I don't think yours.
Is that mic on?
No, it's not.
Yeah, because we can't hear you. Yeah.
One, two, three. Thank you. Thank you for your report, Arlene. I'm, of course, interested in knowing when AGE is going to be available to affiliates.
It is available, and several affiliates are using it. Ursula sent out several notices letting them know that they can contact her for the log-on for the hour, and that will be also including the half-hour versions. If anyone is trying to get access beyond that, that has to be worked out on an individual basis. But the edited hour program, or almost hour program, and the soon-to-be edited half-hour programs are available now.
Thank you. I was unaware of that.
I believe we currently have, I think Ursula told me she thinks 17 affiliates that are currently carrying the AJE program.
Thank you. Rodrigo?
Thank you, Mrs. Arlene. I had one point that was really important. And, well, many points that you talked were really important, but I think the lawsuits, has to had a great deal and great impact, and we got to be careful that, we don't do things, as we interpret, the bylaws, but seek, before we proceed in any decisions that may carry, legal matters, or court fees, before we proceed, that we really seek into counselors or go to the bylaws to the last, word to make sure that we are not going to be paying so much money on those lawsuits. And one thing I want to, ask, our fellow members of this board is, like, when you talk about, to examine our roots and our progressive values and how we're going to be providing information that is educative, and how we're going to be addressing the underrepresented communities, to take in account that there are, 16% national level, of between 16 to 17% of, Latinos in the U.S. and in some cities, we exceed more than half of the population, and so far the foundation is not dealing with this issue as it should be. So I'm asking every member of this board, when they go back, to reconsider, please reconsider having bilingual and incrementing Spanish language programming that will be addressing the situation of 12 million undocumented people that are suffering the consequences of the insensitivity of this government that is getting, billions and billions of taxes of these people working without getting any rewards. I would ask, I am part of the programming committee. I'm going to be seeking to, at a certain time, to put out a motion that every station, should do seriously into this situation and implement, some programming in that regards. Thank you.
Lydia, you're next.
Yes. I was just wondering, on the KPFT contract that's going to be filed with the amount redacted, I assume that redaction doesn't take place until after the board has seen it, right? Is that correct?
The board can be taken to the board. I'll be glad to share it in executive session here with this board, and they can share it with the LSB, but people do need to have signed their confidentiality agreements, and I think
that's
been one of the issues at the LSB here.
Thank you.
Okay, Teresa?
She took the words out of my mouth. I'm assuming we're going to be talking about that in executive session and several other items. I do want to call people, again, to people's attention, read the Affiliate Task Force, the Affiliate Coordinator's report. It has some really positive information in there.
Thank you.
We do have, at this, the latest figure I have on affiliates is 157.
Thank you. Bill?
Thank you very much, and I, maybe I missed it, but could you email us the report, so, and can we share it with our LSPs?
Sure. I can email it. That's why I dealt with a few. I have a few items that I didn't include in the written report so that everything in there can be shared.
Yeah, thanks for the updates, too, on that.
Thank you. Are there any other members who have questions? Because it's time to go to public comment. Okay, beautiful. Thank you. Okay, public comment. We've got half an hour. If I could get that list back, please. I sent it back out to the group there. Oh, thank you so much. Great, thanks a lot. Okay,